Hello, good afternoon. You're listening to Siren Radio 107.3 FM. I'm Rose Braisby, and this is the very special celebration broadcast of From Silence into Song, the event that took place at Lincoln Arts Centre on Friday the 9th of June. Here's Alex Lefchuk to tell us a little bit more about what From Silence into Song is.
From Silence into Song, a team bringing soundscapes from nature to members of a choir of cancer survivors who have learnt to sing after the removal of their voice boxes. Very different, life-affirming choirs uniting their voices and breaking their silence into songs of hope.
Thanks, Alex. From Silence into Song has been organised by Meta Hort, head of the Lincoln School of Film, Media and Journalism here at Lincoln. But the event is a huge collaboration event. Earlier in the month, Alex, William and Kathy sat down with Meta to dig a little deeper about why it was so important that From Silence into Song came to Lincoln.
Nothing feels better than connecting with art, music, and poetry number. It's quite simply, Meta is singularly responsible for putting together an event which is going to be terrifically wonderful, in fact, which is Silence into Song.
The Laryngectomy Shout at Cancer Choir, which consists of people who have had their voice boxes removed as a result of cancer, that choir, and then a choir of trees. These are the survivor trees in Nagasaki and Hiroshima. So Philip Klimo, the British composer, filmmaker, travelled together with choirmaster Thomas Moores to Nagasaki and Hiroshima in order to capture the sound of the trees, and also they also shot images of the trees. So those two choirs will be performing together, and it will be actually a world premiere at the Lincoln Arts Centre. I'd had the great privilege of watching a documentary about Thomas Moore's work with the Laryngectomy Choir. It's called Can You Hear My Voice? It's a documentary by the documentary filmmaker Bill Brummel, who is himself a survivor of throat cancer. Then subsequently, I saw the choir perform live in London not that long ago. And it was on the train back from London to Lincoln where I thought, let's try and see whether we can bring Thomas, the choir, Philip Klimo, etc. to Lincoln. And everything just moved so quickly. And so, yeah.
Wow. So the cancer sufferers who have lost their voice boxes, can they sing? What sort of sound are they making?
So, yeah, they are assisted by various prosthetic devices. And one of the questions that was asked in London was, how far away are we from a voice, genuinely a voice. And the answer given by one of the members of the choir was, I already have a voice. This is my voice. And she then proceeded to demonstrate that she can actually do a whole range of different dialects using the prosthetic device that she uses in order to have a new voice. In her particular case, it was especially moving because she has a daughter who is disabled in various ways and relates to her mother through her voice, among other things. And so the loss of voice also meant the trauma of no longer being able to communicate with a child the way that she was used to communicating. And so finding a new voice was especially important. And I think that, you know, essentially the choir, and now also in, you know, with the choir of trees singing alongside the Laryngectomy Choir, it is just such a story of hope and resilience. And I think just, you know, coming back to what Charlie was saying about mental health, I think this is a project also about trying to bring a certain kind of resilience into our university community. I think it is no secret that higher education in the UK and elsewhere, we are talking a lot about mental health challenges and not really finding a way of dealing fully with them. And I think that, you know, something like Silence into Song is another way of trying to cope with some of the challenges that we have. I'm hoping that the students who come along, if they are grappling with mental health issues, that they will leave with an enormous feeling of hope and energy and so on. I think everybody also seeing that this was an amazing opportunity to get our students in sound and music production involved, because then they could, like, you know, actually produce work on the sound. Film production students are going to be filming, etc., etc. And so all of these different ways in which the students are involved as well will then help Thomas Moores and Philip Klimo to put together further funding bids so that they can then continue to do their good work and so on and so forth. So it's just goodwill driving it all, really.
Thanks, Alex and Meta. You're listening to Siren 107.3 FM, online at sirenonline.co.uk, or you can ask your smart speaker to play Siren Radio at home. And I'm Rose Braisby. Now, later on, we are going to hear Moments of the Night at just a little later on in this show. Earlier in the month, Chris Clarkson sat down with Ben Anderson, director of Lincoln Arts Centre, to find out more about how From Silence into Song fits into the Arts Centre's new relaunch model and why collaboration is so important.
Silence into Song is really an excellent example of the type of stuff that we want to do in the future, which is about connecting academia with the public and industry. And it's a classic example of that. You've got participants who have experienced a laryngectomy, which means that they've had their voice box removed, working with NHS practitioners and industry practitioners, and connecting with academia. So they've been doing a significant research project around radiation in Japan. So there's all these different elements to the work, but essentially you can engage in many different levels. One, it's a choir for people that have had their voice box removed, which is in itself interesting, and all of the social benefits that brings. You then also have this research project that's connected to it around radiation, radiotherapy, and in particular the international context of Japan, where radiation has a particular stigma because of the nuclear catastrophes that have happened in that country. And as a result of that, the connection between radiotherapy, where radiation is used as a positive thing, is not necessarily there. And then you've got the added element they've worked with the trees in Hiroshima and connected to the noise, the kind of soundscapes that those trees make based on the radiation that they've endured. So there's like these added layers, and you can, depending on your interests and experience, you can engage at whatever level you want. But the main thing is that as a member of the public, you might just first time engage as this is interesting. It's a choir for people that have had their voice box removed. How does that work? Which I think is interesting in itself.
And this kind of comes back to what you were saying earlier about it being an art centre for everybody.
What we really, really, really considered around our relaunch and our new vision is how we create a distinctive offer. So we're really trying hard to create a programme that is distinctive. There's this idea that we're socially engaged, social driven art, and that does require support. And so we're trying to build up an advocacy base around what the Arts Centre is trying to do. Sometimes it can be quite confusing, like, you know, radiation, choirs, scientists, like all of this stuff, like that's overwhelming for me. I don't know how to engage in that. I don't know if I want to engage in it. I'm a bit nervous about engaging in that stuff because it is overwhelming and a bit odd and a bit out there. What's so important is that work has social value beyond economics or beyond any kind of like, or beyond entertainment or any of these other things that are served in the city already, I think, as well. That's important to say that, you know, you can go and see comedy and have a good night out. You can go and go to a gig and have a good night out in Lincoln. And that's not to say that we'll never do those things again and we won't do those things. But we have to see where do we fit within that mould. And I think what we can offer is that socially engaged, socially driven art projects that have really deep and lasting impacts on people, that's where sometimes it's as much about the process as it is about the product. And I think that's where we can fit in because of the fact that we're a campus-based university art centre that can draw on all the academic expertise that brings and the research project. I mean, I say this all the time, and I keep saying it, but I can have an interesting conversation with somebody every day about the kind of research or something that they're exploring. And I think if we can bring some of that to life on our stages or through our digital stages or in our gallery spaces, I think that we'll be doing our job.
That was Ben Anderson, director of Lincoln Arts Centre, talking about how From Silence into Song ties into the work they're doing at the Arts Centre.
Siren 107.3.
Now, Alex also sat down with Phil and Donald to find out more about how From Silence into Song and the Shout at Cancer Choir, how it came about and the impact it all has.
Phil, if we can come to you first. I mean, you've got a resume which is superb. 20 years of work, 6 albums, most recently, of course, Dream Maps being put together. You're also a filmmaker, live performance. You bring music, sound design and imagery together and all manner of bits and pieces for that. Share with us how you got involved with this particular project for the choir, for cancer survivors. Share with us the backstory, please, Phil.
It's quite a lot of years ago now, but I was brought together with Dr. Thomas Moore, who's the director of the choir, quite a few years ago. And we started this process telling the story and honouring the extraordinary trees that survived the atomic bombs of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. There are about 200 trees that survived that, so, still growing today, some of them very healthy. And we went out there to mark the anniversary, the 75th anniversary of those bombs being dropped. And we hooked up very sensitive sensors to those trees at the exact time those bombs had been dropped in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And we read the internal dialogues of those trees. We then brought those sounds back, clicks and pops and scratches and thumps and things, and turned them into a database of sounds that we could use for compositional ends. And that's when we brought that together with the choir. So we saw it as two silent groups of silent witnesses, the silent witnesses of the trees telling their story 75 years on, and also the silent witnesses of the cancer survivors who literally lost their voices and had gone through this extraordinary process of learning how to speak again, and not just that, but learning how to sing with this incredible choir.
Not only is it a tribute to the spirit of human beings and so on, it's also a wonderful philosophical take, because what we have there is the notion that, yeah, ultimately we are all frequencies, all vibrating at different areas, and our connectivity with all life forms on the planet, flora and fauna, is something which music in particular can really harmonize. Is that something philosophically which you'd say is at the root of the kind of work that you do?
Well, I work a lot with ambiguity. I work a lot with where we the gaps between our understanding of the world around us. So it's about how we experience or don't experience our planet. So I'm interested in capturing ways that maybe other species or other ways of perceiving what's around us. So whether that's connecting sensors to these trees and picking up what's going on internally in them, or whether it's working with thermal cameras, infrared cameras, to capture imagery that's beyond what we would normally perceive. It's about sort of scrambling that familiarity that we have so we can experience things at a deeper level. So yes, this idea that once you sort of get down a little bit deeper, things start to connect in ways that you might not have experienced before. And that includes, you know, a choir made up of trees connecting with a choir made up of cancer survivors. Mm. But I also should make sure that I mention Christian Drew, who's a young composer, who we're working with on this aspect of From Silence into Song. And I'm more in the sort of soundscape, providing sonics and textures and the tree recordings and things and fungi recordings. And Christian has woven that together with new compositional elements. So the concert in Lincoln will be working with Christian as well, rather than my compositional elements on this occasion.
Donald Cox, welcome to the program. How did you get involved with this choir, this project?
I got involved with the choir because my speech and language therapist was aware that I had really lost something that was central to my life and my identity, went to Dr. Moore's afterwards and said, Thomas, I really want to join this choir. And he said, sure, come along. And I think we have something much more muscular than hope, which is resilience. And I think that's one of the inspiring things about the trees and their survival, the degree of resilience that exists in nature. And that whole aspect of life is brought very, very much into this concert through Philip's fabulous and entrancing music. One is brought really into the presence of nature, and one really has to surrender to that and just allow it to wash over you.
Siren 107.3.
Welcome back. You're tuned into Siren 107.3 FM with me, Rose. I had the absolute pleasure of attending From Silence Into Song last week and working alongside some of our students within Lincoln School of Film, Media and Journalism. We're going to hear moments of the event now. The performance you are hearing is a collaboration of the Shout at Cancer Choir, directed by Thomas Moores, alongside sound artist Philip Climo, composition and instrumentalist Christian Jew and Nuno Brito, music featured by John Edwards, Teddy Riley and Reap Swan. The Trees of Hiroshima, captured by Lincoln Arts Centre and then mixed by our sound and music students Conrad Hendrickson, Bartek Henklick and Joe Purves. Introducing From Silence Into Song, Moments from the Night.
Let me weep over my cruel fate, and let me sigh for liberty. May sorrow shatter these chains of my torments out of pity alone. I had my surgery to have a total laryngectomy a little over 3 years ago. At the start of the pandemic, I felt like my entire world had fallen apart. I was a mother to my two children who were very young at the time. I was a singer and a performer. I was devastated. However, I think that when something as hugely life-changing and devastating happens in your life, the only way is forwards. You have to find a new way. I am still finding my new way, but I have many more chapters to write.
We are Shout at Cancer, the only charity in the world that specialized in introducing music and breathing and singing and acting techniques into the speech recovery after laryngectomy. Our next poem, Grown Out of It. We just keep on growing. We are quite remarkable creatures, but we need each other. We need that connection. And like I said, the show was all about resilience, but it's something you find easier in yourself with the connection and the support of people around you.
Growing out of it, I thought I was all done with that growing bit. If you told me to sprout wings, at one time I would have laughed. Or grasshoppers' legs, or chameleons' wobbly-bobbly eyes, or the neck of a giraffe. I would have laughed. But that was before. Before hills and valleys of my old life turned to steep crags and daunting crevasses. I indeed needed to grow once more, to adapt, to endure, to educate, to explore. I found others who shared the same choice, to echo my voice through the noise, and to put our prayers, power, and priorities together to become a beautiful creature of many parts. And the more parts, the better. That is why I sing, to share, to give hope to those that can't see the sky, or hear the birds, or for those that feel frozen in time. I miss my old voice, although it was better. I've grown out of it.
have moved on, and maybe, just maybe, I might have been given a stronger one.
Finding our way through the jungle, we got inspired by a bunch of trees, very special trees, the trees that survived the nuclear bomb in Japan. We went over there 75 years later and we recorded those trees. Why 75 years later? Because when it all happened, devastation, scientists came on board and said nothing will live here for 75 years. 3 months down the line, over 200 trees came back to life and created hope. They inspired them to rebuild the city. And 75 years later, we went there to record them and create a choir of those trees to sing together with our choir. A lot of our choir has had radiotherapy, the healing power of radiation, together with the destructive power and the overall power of nature to overcome adversity. It's two choirs of resilience. And then we gave Christian Drew the impossible task to unite both choirs in a composition. Next song is the Tree Chatterers. And then we go on with Emergence, a song by Reeps One. Again, the two choirs are singing together. They're not using words. It's a poem without words because it comes from, it's a manifest that comes from a group that's overlooked and underheard in our society. So we filmed them with technology that captures the invisible, like infrared and heat cameras, as an extra statement. Emergence by Reeps One and preceded by the Chatterers. what we learn from those trees is that they are connected with each other. There's a whole network around their roots that's talking. It allows the trees to talk to each other and look after each other. They help each other. If a part of the forest is in trouble, they will redistribute nutrition towards it. Or when they're under attack, they will give warning signs to get the to get protected against the parasites, for example. So we were wondering, what can we learn as human beings from those trees, looking after each other? We managed to record the sound of those networks between the roots, thanks to Phil. And those sounds we use to work with two groups of people who are struggling with social reintegration. Our group, laryngectomy, and also prisoners who are trying to find their way back into society. Two very different groups, but perhaps similar techniques in coping. Perhaps they can learn from each other or be inspired by each other. Presenting Roots by Teddy Riley, a song that makes us feel all connected. From silence into song. Thank you so much, Lincoln, for having us. I am very proud of the Shout at Cancer Laryngectomy Choir. Bring it all together for them.
And that was me applauding there in the audience. A few tears were shed as well, but it was a truly moving, inspirational evening. Here's radio and sound artist Caitlin Robinson speaking to members of the audience right after From Silence Into Song about their favourite moments and what they've taken from the evening.
Siren. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really interesting, like how they made the music and how they composed it and everything.
And what was your favourite moment?
I liked it when they were talking about the trees and about the history of it and how they linked the radiation into it as well.
I think what it was just like an incredible privilege to be in that room with those people. They've all been through such an incredible journey that I think we sort of the tip of the iceberg of really what they're experiencing, and to be in that room and celebrate their sort of fight against adversity and to stay positive and bring that incredible music and compositions, it was just mind-blowing.
I think my favourite moment was the water percussion with the swimming. I thought it was so interesting how, and I want to know everything about water percussion now, and also how people who have had a laryngectomy get around swimming and how they can still do it. It's really, really great.
Yes, there was a moment where I had tears in my eyes for sure, because I could see, as they were singing, I could still sense the heartbreak that they'd lost their voices. So I really felt that.
It's just the real sense of togetherness that both audience and performer alike felt, and everyone's very present in that room, and there was a journey we were all sort of going through together, and it was actually just a very binding experience, yeah. And almost a once-in-a-lifetime experience right now. So, yeah, it's very honourable.
It was very moving, really really beautiful, and very touching. And I'm really blown away by just the poetic nature of the whole thing. It was really beautifully done, and had a really powerful, several powerful messages behind it. Really lovely way to spend a few hours on a Friday evening.
But it's one of those grounding moments that sort of reinvigorates your just feeling and zest for life, because you can take it all for granted when you're sort of going through life and you're worrying about the small things, and then you realise that these people have gone through some cataclysmic trauma, and they come out the other side and they just turned it into such hope and positivity, and they've been empowered by this, and they've just spread a really powerful message.
The thing that I've taken away is just the amazing marriage of the, you know, this laryngitis survivor choir, and the way that they married that with these voices of trees. You know, just two voices that need to be heard more. And so it was lovely to hear them voice themselves together.
Siren 107.3.
Caitlin also had a chance to speak to some of the members of the Shout at Cancer Choir about how the evening went.
It was plain sailing, I'd say.
My name's Ian Bradshaw, and I'm part of the choir. It's the first time we've done a show in Lincoln.
How did you first, become part of the choir?
And I heard about this doctor that was started a choir. And I thought, it must be bad. Anyway, I went along to London to rehearsal 8 years ago, and that's how I began to be in the choir. When I told my son I joined the choir, he said to me, "Dad, you couldn't sing before you had this operation."
So my name is Sarah Belton Evans, and I'm part of the Shout at Cancer Choir.
And what it was like performing tonight?
Amazing. It was a lovely, welcoming performance. It's always very nerve-wracking when you're performing when you haven't got a voice box and you're trying to sing. But, yeah,
we also managed to grab a very quick moment after the performance with Meta and Ben to find out if they thought the event was a success.
Oh, it was so, I don't know, profound. Like, I've just been talking to somebody about it, and we were saying that it's like a unique unicorn moment.
It's not like a show that comes around, and there were so many different parts that came together, and it was very special because of that. And then you get that liveness, right? So you have the liveness of the performance, but also the fact that the performance actually itself is unique because of the many different parts. So something really special about that, being in a live space.
The experience was still absolutely visceral. And also, as Phil Climo pointed out, the concept keeps growing, new elements are introduced. The whole project around the trees, that is an ever-expanding project. So there were a lot of new things also to think about. And I would say that I find the experience is so rich because there's just so much going on all of the time. So the water percussion element, that was entirely new. And then Phil Climo with all his homemade, invented instruments to basically simulate the sound of the trees. It's ever expanding. Yes, it's very, very rich. And I think felt that the audience actually was really, really warm. I felt that the choir was very well received. And that was really important to me because you clearly want this to be a joyous event where audience and performers come together. And I feel they did. I felt there was a lot of enthusiasm and a lot of gratitude and warmth expressed. So that was great.
I think that there was a really nice moment at the beginning where one of the choir members told us to stop and do it again. And it was a really powerful moment where the choir members just took charge in that moment. That felt really nice.
Do that again and do it better.
What was your favourite moment about this evening?
My favourite moment? I quite liked the do it again. I thought that was really quite wonderful. I thought the poems that basically articulated what it was like to lose one's voice, but also to find a way forward, I thought that was really, really powerful. The trees, the experimental part, the implications of listening to nature and so on and so forth. I found all of that very, very moving and philosophically really intriguing. But it was especially the voices of the choir that I think were so extraordinarily powerful.
And finally, what messages can we take from Silence into Song?
I think the message is that life is not necessarily going to be easy, and tragedy can strike at any time, and the important thing is to know that when it does, you have strength within you, and you have strength, there is strength to be found in reaching out to other people. And for me, this is an event, a performance that absolutely embodies the concept of resilience. And I think that is something we need to see. And so I am really grateful for that. I'm very grateful for that.
Siren. And there we have it, exclusive moments of From Silence into Song, the event that took place at Lincoln Arts Centre on the 9th of June. A huge shout out to the Shout at Cancer Choir, who you can find at facebook.com/shoutatcancerUK. I highly, highly recommend that if you get a chance to go and see From Silence into Song, wherever you are, please do so and keep an eye on their Facebook page. That's facebook.com/shoutatcancerUK.